Look at your hands. Amazing things, really. 10 digits capable of working in harmony. And with those two opposable thumbs, we carry at the ends of our arms two miracles of nature, capable of wielding a mighty hammer or a tiny tweezer, able to construct a colossal bridge or the most delicate woman's wristwatch. Miracles of nature, indeed, marvelously engineered by our creating God. Look at your hands. Just look at them. In his hands, in his very own hands, God scooped up a mound of clay from a river's edge and shaped it into his own image. There on the banks of that river, God breathed his own breath, his own spirit, into that dirt man's lungs. And whoosh! He became a living being. I wonder what Adam saw when he looked at his hands. After the incident with the fruit, after his banishment from the garden and his fall away from God, he almost certainly saw dirt in his hands. Cursed is the ground because of you, God said that fateful day. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Dirt, caked on his hands from digging in the dust, was what he saw. Trying desperately to eke out a living from the earth, then only thistle and bramble came forth from his labor. Adam was accustomed to digging in the dirt. But the dirt lay deeper still. Dust you are, God reminded Adam that day, and to dust you shall return. Even if Adam could wash away the dirt from the fields, he would never get to the bottom of it. Look at your hands and think about dirt. Because someday those hands of yours and those hands of mine, along with everything else that is us, will yield again to dust. We are born in Adam's image. We too are dust, and to dust we shall return. But I also wonder whether Adam didn't seem more than just dust as he gazed into his hands. Because you see, if God molded Adam from the clay, I think I know well enough about sculpture to say that with certainty that Adam must have been covered with God's fingerprints. And I wonder if, as a final act in putting Adam together, God didn't press his almighty hand into the hand of Adam. I wonder if Adam bore on his fingers the very fingerprints of God. Because if that's so, then hands with those same marks, now marked as well with prints from nails, would one day rise from the dust again. And those same hands would beckon Adam and Eve and all the children of dust to rise as well. Good news will follow, children of dust. Good news indeed. But for now, consider dust.
There are times when I dream, when on the wings of gentle sleep, sweet visions transport me back to those times. Oh, you cannot understand the enormity of my remorse or the gravity of my guilt, because it's not possible for you to grasp what we lost. Even now, the memory of it fades. Even now, the thoughts of Eden, that heavenly garden, slip away from me as the memory of the dream recedes with the morning, leaving only the empty shells of emotion in its wake. There are times, of course, when I think of it as I labor, as I scratch and dig at this accursed ground, watering the dirt with my sweat, the furrows in the soil matching line for line the furrows of my brow. Or when in the throes of childbirth, when my body strains to bring those children into this world, when pain shooting through my limbs and head, it is even then that the regret is the strongest, and the anger and the loss. But it is in the dreams that I am whisked away most completely, most innocently, to the way it was. Oh, Eden, that glorious garden planted by God, where birds never ceased in their morning song and flowers bloomed and coaxed in magnificent rainbow hues, where wolves frolicked with bobcats and lions snoozed with lambs. I made my bed one time upon the downy belly of a bear, lulled to sleep by his gentle, cavernous snoring. It never rained there, did you know that? The always blue sky bore on its back the most pillowy of clouds. But never did it cloud over, never was the sun completely hidden from our sight. Not that there was a lack of water, oh no, springs gurgled with their icy issues, which tumbled over smooth stones and through grassy meadows. And that miraculous morning mist, it watered the ground and filled the air with such delightful earthy aromas. And the fruit, there's the rub. But it wasn't just the garden, the sights and the sounds, the aromas and the flavors, the feeling and the peace. It was him. When we walked with him in the deepening dusk, talking over the events of the day, when we lay together in the afternoon sunshine, when we ate with him and drank and shared, when he opened his magnificent mouth and began to sing, oh, the music. You have no idea. You could not believe how close he was. You call it, I'm told, the fall. What happened there in the garden? What happened with my husband and me? The word is very descriptive, fall. And accurate as well, for that is exactly how it feels. Because you see, as much as we would like to blame someone else, that snake, my husband, even God, and Adam did blame others that fateful day. The woman, which you gave to be with me, she gave me that fruit from the tree and I ate. As much as I would like to blame anybody else, it was I who fell away. I took that fruit. I wrapped it in my hands, around it, and then my lips, and then my teeth, and I ate it. I disobeyed. I fell away. It was not God who turned his back, no. In fact, he searched us out, running through the garden until he found us hidden in our shame. No one is to blame but me. It was by my hand, by my own hand, wrapped around that wretched fruit, that I have received what I deserved. I fell out of the garden, away from the earth and the animals, away from my husband, away from immortality, and away from him. Earthman, he called my husband dirt man, dusty. That's what Adam means. That's what his hands can do. He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, shaping and molding, gently caressing him, breathing his own breath into Adam's lungs. And he dug into his creation side, and from a rib, handcrafted me. When his hands go to work, miracles are the results. And when my hands go to work, remember, you are dust, Adam, dust, and to dust you shall return. That is the result of my handiwork. By his hand, life. By my hand, death. I know what love is. I know firsthand how powerful it is. And so I know, too, deep within, that he is still chasing me. He will continue to love me. Love me so strongly that it will hurt him terribly. And so as I stand here, laboring over this dirt, to which one day I will return, I look to the day that he promised he would come, the day he will come back for me. And I wonder how much it will hurt him. I wonder what the cost will be. For it was by my hand, clutching that fruit, hiding my face, weaving those clothes, it was by my hand that all of this is necessary. And it is for my sake that he will fight to win me back.